Did they talk to you during that interview at all about your what your pay would be and what benefits there were, those kinds of things?
No. But they did say, yeah, after I got in the plan. It was not the interview. It was after I was already hired. They said that they had this insurance that we could take out. And it would pay us if we were sick or anything like that. And I think we all took out the insurance, which they later revised, and it wasn't quite so good. But I have no complaints about what Douglas did for me in the physical line, because I was out once with a broken knee, and they did take a big mole off my back, and I was sick several times. So I can't complain a bit.
Was this during the war, or was this when you went back after?
After I went back. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sick any during the war.
Mm-hmm. How long after your interview was it before you actually went to work?
2 days. Mm-hmm. It was right away. They wanted people. They needed them. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got in there, I wasn't on the machines like I was later. They gave me what they had, a handgun. It was a long sort of affair that you squeezed together. And the electrodes were at the end, like a pair of pliers, you know. And now when you squeezed it, well, then those two electrodes come together and they welded. You had to step on the pedal too to weld. And that, I was there, for so long. When I first started, for the first 3 weeks, I used to go home and cry. My arms hurt so bad, from that muscle using I wasn't used to. But I stuck to it. I never told anybody. I stuck to it, and finally it got so it didn't bother me. However, later, it did, towards the last, this thumb got so, I couldn't use it so good. It's better now, but there for a while, it did just all swell up. And the doctor said it was arthritis. Maybe that was old age sinking in, I don't know.
What kinds of preparations did you have to make before you went to work? Did you have to buy special clothes or tools?
Yeah. I'd worn dresses up to that time. And so I bought these little jumper suits, no sleeves, but was pants and the top together. And, of course, blouses. And then I had to wear the shoes that were from had the toes in, flat heels, because there was things laying around. They had to be sturdy and all that. And I had to have a handkerchief big enough to tie my hair up, because all of them had to wear that, because of the machinery. Now, the machinery where I worked, there was no danger of it, but still, if one woman saw another one without that headdress on, she would complain. So we all had to wear it. And even a couple of men who had long hair had to wear it. And those few men were very, very few at that time, because they weren't wearing long hair that much.
What about tools? Did you have
Issued us tools. And I had to buy a toolbox, and I bought my own brand new, although I could have bought from those boys who were having being drafted, they wanted to sell their tools. I never bought any of them because I had already bought my own before I even heard about them wanting to do that. But a lot of them did buy those tools. However, I bought my own. But those tools that were required for the machine were furnished to us. We didn't have to buy our lead hammers or mallets or Allen wrenches. None of those did we have to buy.
What kinds of things did you have to buy?
Oh, pliers and things that would hold things together, you know. And I bought channel locks and long nose pliers and tin snips. Oh, I don't remember what all. I kept them all. I never sold any of my tools. I kept them. I figured when I was working after 1950, my daughter had her baby in 1964, which was before I retired, and the boy. And so I figured, well, so he'll be a big boy someday, and I'll just start giving him tools just like I had my son. When he was growing up, I began giving him tools so he'd know how to use them. Good deal. He learned how. So, boys that need that sort of thing.
Did you have to go through any special training?
No. No, I didn't. No, they just told me what to do. Told me never to drag things across the electrodes. That would make a scratch, and they didn't want any scratches. So everything was supposed to be scratch-free, and I saw that it was, at least my part.
Now, when was it that you went to work at Douglas?
What?
When was it that you went to work at Douglas?
In August of 42.
Mm-hmm. Was when you went to work on the first day, did you know where to report? Did they tell you that in the interview?
No, I went in to the higher end office. That's where I was supposed to go. They issued me my badge and my tools, and the supervisor was there, and he gave us a little talk before how to clock in and clock out. And if we had to leave, we were supposed to have a certain pass to leave. We weren't to leave there, and we weren't to talk about our jobs to anyone. And then he took us personally to our point of employment. And we were turned over to the foreman of that department. And he, in turn, gave us a little talk and turned us over to the lead man. No two were put in the same location. They were put in different areas.
Do you know where the other people were placed, what kinds of jobs they had?
Well, they were those that came in with this one. No, some of them were riveters, assemblers, and some of them were spot welders. Some of them were upholsters.
How did you feel about taking that job?
Well, I was excited, really. I knew it was something entirely different than I was used to. There was going to be more people, which I liked. And I was going to have to adjust to different regulations, too. And it was exciting. I had my shaky feelings, of course, and I think for the first couple of days I shared those shaky feelings with everybody else who went in. But any job you take is always that. You kind of wonder if this is going to be good for you, or whether it's going to just be one of those temporary things. But I felt this was for always. And it seemed like this is going to be it.
How was it wearing pants to work?
Oh, not bad. I didn't mind it. It was easier to get around. I knew that when I stooped over, I wasn't going to be revealing. And there was a lot of stooping and squatting and all that, which made it feel, made me feel a little more secure in doing that, then I wouldn't be embarrassed about anything.
Did they give you any kind of an indication as to how long it should take you to learn the job?
No, they didn't. They just said, "Oh, you'll do it. You're good. You'll do it." And yeah, well, fine. As a matter of fact, the same procedure went to lead man. And later, he came back after the end of the war, and he was my lead man. He retained his seniority and everything through those war years. When he came back from the service, he would put the new help with me. Oh, Abby will show you. She'll explain everything to you. And as a matter of fact, I think I got the bulk of the trainees coming in.
How long did it take before you felt confident about what you were doing?
Oh, maybe 2 weeks. Then I felt like I'd done it all my life. It just came very, very naturally. It was a more relaxed feeling, among the people, too, that didn't exist when I went back. When I went back, they were all jealous of seniority. Well, I didn't get to keep all that seniority that because I was off 4 years. They still knew that I had the experience that they didn't have, and they felt I was kind of going to put their job in jeopardy. That wasn't so. Seniority was the thing. However, I outlasted a lot of them. Some of them quit. Some of them just didn't show up for work and was fired. That is, after I went back. And so, it was all just a very casual thing. I think my life's been more or less casual everywhere. No great excitement about anything, except maybe to me. And of course, when I went to work, my children were very happy because they thought I was really and truly doing a big job. I was really getting paid more, which I was. But it helped out. Let's say, I felt patriotic. But that money was there too. If it hadn't been for the money, I couldn't have stayed. But I did feel patriotic.
What building did you work in?
Oh, I went to work in 4. And they shifted me from 4 to 12. And from 12, they shifted me to 13 to 15, and then down to 2.
This was all during the war?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. when I went in building 15, I had to sign a ledger. That was top secret. And I had to sign the ledger when I went in and when I left. But they said, don't talk about the job to anybody. And while I was I'm still new on the job, Roosevelt and Mrs. Roosevelt came through. They drove their car right into the building. And of course we were all hilarious over that. And we just didn't stop talking about it. And then we all left our machines to crowd around. And there was a good feeling all during that war. They wanted to do the job. They wanted to get it done. They wanted, most of them had sons, brothers, somebody was in there. And they wanted them back. So did I. I'd been through one war, and I knew how they felt.
That first day that you went to work, what was your first impression of walking into the building where you were going to work?
Was I the same color? Was I? I had these fluorescent lights, and of course it brought my freckles out in different hues. I must have looked pretty funny to some of them. It was a kind of an eerie sort of an atmosphere, but I soon got used to that. Really, the lights were better than those that cast shadows. Those lights didn't cast shadows. So you couldn't work in your own shadow.
What was it like being around all those machines?
Well, with all the machines? Well, the riveting was not that close to us. We could hear it, but it wasn't that close to us. The assembly was between us and the riveting, and the building was pretty big, all of them. And while we heard the riveting, it didn't bother us. And when I was in two, I think it was, where they had the drop hammers, it was more of a shake than it was what we heard. They had the big drop hammers there, and we weren't all that close to that either. There was a big department at that time.
What was the reaction of the men who were working there to you personally and to women coming into the plant?
My impression?
How did they react to you coming in?
The men didn't feel too well. They didn't think we were worth what we were being paid, which was the same as they were getting. And they didn't think that we could do the job. And sometimes they would get disgusted because we could, or maybe didn't do exactly what they thought we should do. And they'd just walk off and leave us on our own, find out how to do it by ourselves. No, the men weren't. They were and they weren't cooperative. If you asked them anything, naturally, they would give you the shortest explanation. But it wasn't all that agreeable to the men. As a matter of fact, just before I retired, we had this man working there, and he said, I have no respect for women who work. I said, you got a wife and a daughter. You can say that not respectable too? might have to work before they're through. Oh, I held up my end of it. I wasn't bashful about, accepting what they had to say and saying what I had to say, too. Because after all, I was doing the job just as good as they were. If I hadn't been, I never could have been a mechanic welder. And I was a mechanic welder. And that's right next to the lead band. No, it doesn't bother me. When you work with a lot of people, there's always a lot of dissent, no matter where you work. And there's always somebody that feels like, well, maybe they're better than you are. We came into the world with nothing. We're going to go out with nothing. So, that's just the way it is.
How was your job first demonstrated to you?
Oh, I had to hold the part. They put me to work with this man, and he was just a boy, really. Yeah. Here I was, going on 40, and I think he was maybe in his 20s, and he had this great big part, and he said, now we both pick it up, and you hold it steady, don't move, because if you move, it'll blow a hole. So, I helped him pick it up, it was heavy, and I held it steady. Well, he kept asking me after months and months. He kept asking for me rather than the new help, because I would hold it steady. And my shoulders would ache. But that's the way. And all the time he was welding, he'd be telling me about his love life. And asking me my advice on this or that. I was another man, as far as he was concerned, the way he talked to me. And from then on, I learned to take it just that way. Accept what they have to say, give it back as good as they hand it out. So that was the demonstration.
And you said before you, then your first task that they gave you to do was to clean the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you began to weld after that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Learned how to set the machine, how to set the dials on it, and everything. There was I think, about 8 or 9 dials on each machine.
What was the attitude of the supervisory people towards
very
you
agreeable,
coming in?
Very agreeable. Mm-hmm. I had a very nice supervisor. Very nice supervisor. He worked there after the war, and I think they broke him back to a lead man, but he was still working when I left. Very, very nice person, very agreeable. He was much younger, and we had another one. There was two of them, two on each shift. And this other one, he'd come over and he'd talk to each one of us, ask about our family and any problems, tell about his. And this he had a stepdaughter the same age as my daughter, and they went to high school together. And we had a lot in common. Very, very nice person. As I met his wife and his daughter, and so with the other one, Kirby Cullen and Edwin Wood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were both very, very nice people.
Were there very many other women working in the plant when you began?
Well, there were quite a few, and not all in this department, but there were right through the plant, yes. Uh-huh.
Did you have much contact with them?
Not really. Not really. They more or less stayed with their own department, as we did in ours. We just didn't visit around. There was no time. We'd have lunch, and we got so, well, when there was more women in the department, then the women would all eat together. And but during the rest periods, there was 5 minutes rest period, all the women would kind of get together and spend that 5 minutes. Well, you don't get very well acquainted or exchange too many pleasantries in 5 minutes. So we more or less had a comrade, hi, how are you, and all that relationship, but nothing more.
How many women were on your crew with you?
When I first hired in?
Yes.
When I first hired in, I went in on graveyard. There was two of us in this one group. Now there was these different groups in these different buildings, mm-hmm. but there was just us two women.
Out of how many people altogether in your crew?
I think there must have been about 20. And then gradually, as the more progressed, the more women came in and the boys were being drafted, and there were less men and more women. But just to start out with, there were just us two.
What was that like? Being one of two women in a crew of
all
men.
Oh, fun. It was fun. Yeah, during the lunch period, I think one of the boys says, "Let's match pennies." And so we matched pennies. I don't recall ever winning any. It seemed to me they had a system for us that we didn't. But it was fun, and it wasn't all there wasn't all that many pennies tossed. We'd toss them, you know, toss the pennies. We'd say we'd want heads or we'd want tails. So naturally, you picked up a few. Maybe not all you threw out, but you did pick up a few. And it lasted those few minutes. I think we only had 30 minutes lunch period. It wasn't very long. And by the time you eat your lunch and go to the restroom and get back, why, yeah, there isn't that much time until it's time to go back to work again. Well, we didn't clock in or out for lunch period since we couldn't leave the area. We had a bell that rang. We knew we had to get back to work.
How did you feel after your first day of work about what you'd done? How did you feel that first day?
Oh, I felt like I'd wasted my time. You see, I hadn't done any real work, you know. And I was just working on just cleaning up those machines, so just cleaning up things is never that inspiring, you know. And but I learned later that was part of the job, and this is what you're expected to do. And so I learned how to reset the machines, how to change the electrodes, and see that they were in good shape. And see, each time, after so many wells, those electrodes have to be sanded in order to keep them from blowing holes.